Welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. This is your host, Rav, speaking. I hope you are all well, wherever you are in the world. Thank you so much for being here, for tuning in. I hope you are enjoying the aftermath of it was quite a comfortable win in the end for Arsenal over Chelsea. 1-0 to the Arsenal, as the classic song goes, and it was just so symbolic that George Graham was in the crowd watching over, right? You couldn't have scripted this better, right? I will say, though, the 1-0 scoreline, it doesn't quite do Arsenal justice. I feel this was it was emblematic of both teams, that we don't quite have the finishing touch, that clinical finishing that matches our chances, our chance creation. I thought we were quite comfortable throughout this performance. Chelsea really didn't threaten that much. I'm struggling to think of too many occasions where they really tested Arsenal, tested Raya. The one that most will refer to is a very savable shot, very tame shot from Cucurella that poor old David Raya, right? He would have had his heart in his mouth as it spilled through his hands, and all he could do was just helplessly turn around and just watch the ball just roll away beyond the post, right? I think many of us, when I saw that, I was just thinking, WTF, what just happened then? And if there's anyone who deserves a slice of luck going his way, it's David Raya. On the balance of what he's produced this season, the amount of times he has bailed Arsenal out of some difficult situations, the consistent quality he has produced week in, week out for the club. If there's one person who deserves that slice of luck, it's definitely him. So in the end, it was just, it was no harm done, thankfully. Other than that, look, I just don't feel Chelsea really challenged. This is, it's strange. I know they're suffering with injuries as well. I mean, every club does, right? The sheer volume of football, what the players are asked to do as human beings, right? It takes a toll on anyone, and there's a huge slice of luck when you come across certain junctures of the season, certain teams, certain matchups. You just hope you have your best players available, and we've certainly suffered from that, as I don't need to remind anyone of. And Chelsea is struggling a little bit too, a bit of a break went in Arsenal's way, that Cole Palmer was ruled out before the match. I heard some whispers in the lead up to this that he's struggling with something, but look, how many times do you see that the gamesmanship, mind games between certain clubs, keeping things tightly sealed within the camp, right? Not trying to let your opposition know if the players are going to play or not. So this actually turned out to be true, that Cole Palmer was missing. And even though he himself has been on a bit of a goal-scoring drought, it's still a very welcome change to not constantly face teams at the top of their game, right? You know, we certainly deserve a little bit back our way in that regard as well. And I really, look, I'm going to say this again. I thought this was quite a comfortable performance from Arsenal. Very, very professional is the terminology I like using in situations like this. We were professional in what we did. I thought Partey was actually very good today. Very, very good. I know that it seems that Partey and Arsenal, there's an endpoint here this summer, that the two parties, pardon the pun, are going to go separate ways. It's coming to a natural end as his contract expires. And I do believe that's the right thing. I would love to look for a younger version of Thomas Partey out there on the market. And we certainly know the names that have been linked as we look to renew ourselves in midfield. I think, though, for what it's worth, that you can still just end things on a good note, right? Even though there is an inevitability about that. The same can be said with Jorginho, Kieran Tierney, right? You still see them consistently performing, consistently delivering for their manager and the club. And that's really refreshing to see, right? It really is. You're still a professional, and you still got a job to do, and you still got a contribution to make. And it's just very, very pleasing to see that the standards now at Arsenal are so high that the players who step in, step out, right, they're still producing top quality. I thought Gabriel, Partey, Rice in particular, that real, that the spine, so to speak, of Arsenal, they were all on today. They were outstanding. And look, this is not to say no one else was, of course. We have very consistent high performers. Timber, Saliba, you kind of know what you're going to get with them. They're consistently excelling at what they're tasked with. I really, really thought that as the game grew on, Gabriel really imposed himself. He was fantastic. Rice was fantastic. Partey controlled the midfield areas, and we were just able to keep Chelsea out, negate them time and again, bring the ball forward, link up well throughout those corridors. And I just thought it was just a very, very impressive professional performance from Arsenal, just getting the job done. That was my main takeaway from the game. Selection-wise, I got it wrong again, as I quite often do, right? I thought, for anyone who listened to my pod a few days ago in the build-up to this match, I thought that we would now just start to see a shift away from the Mourinho false nine experiment. I thought that with Martinelli back, Trossard is there, right? We could have seen some sort of interchange time-sharing with them as maybe a front two, or something similar, depending on what shape we set up with. But look, full credit to Mourinho, right? I know he's if you look purely at his goal output, right, in the few matches he's been tasked with this position, which is completely out of his resume, right? Like he has not been a striker for his entire career. You can't just manufacture this. Right, you can't just all of a sudden one day wave a magic wand and say, "Hey, I know you've played your entire career as a midfielder, and these are your technical skills, these are your attributes. Now, can you all of a sudden just become this striker that we all need?" Right, it doesn't work that way, and you see so often during game states that he comes so deep. He's not quite the link up play that he doesn't have that skill set. He's back towards goal. You know, the things that we come to see and expect the way Havertz plays that position for Arsenal. It's harsh to hold Mourinho to the same standards. And the reality is that he's not. And that's not a slight on him. It's not a criticism. It's not a blight on him. It's just the situation. He is not that player. And he absolute testament to him, right? Because what you do get from him is 100% professionalism. He will do whatever the team asks him to do. He will try his best. He really does throw himself into the duels, which I think that's one of the main reasons why Arteta pushed so hard to sign him to begin with, right? Because we all know how Mikel feels about the duels, right? So credit to Mourinho. I still do think, though, that it'll be interesting to see over the next few weeks as we lead up to the Real Madrid quarterfinal. I still do think that we're not going to see him deployed from the start as the nine. I think there's certainly a scenario where Mourinho coming on as a second half sub, whether he's attacking the box from as the left eight, attacking that back post, or coming on as a striker against tired legs as we look to, as the game opens up and we try and stretch the opposition. I do still feel there's a very, very strong case to put forward there that he will be able to impact. What also needs to be said is that as much as I know the irony, right? Mourinho scored the sole goal today, the sole winner. I know the irony in saying that I'm not sure that this is going to be what we continue to see from Arsenal. What also needs to be pointed out is that Trossard, I've spoken about him recently as well, like, you know, his goals have really dried up. His goal to minutes ratio has dried up as well. And there was a time, you know, last season where there used to be that constant dialogue and debate amongst Arsenal fans, like, you know, is Trossard best as a starter, or is he impact sub, and should he be the one coming on in the second half? And we just haven't had the luxury of doing that. We haven't had the benefit with all the injuries, how threadbare our forward options are. We were down to basically two senior forwards, right? Trossard and Sterling after Dubai. So Trossard has just had to play, and absolute credit to him, right? He's been fit and available and ready to front up every match. So can't really fault him too much in that regard. However, when you look at the stats, you look at the numbers, if he was producing, if his goal contributions were of a higher output, certainly along the lines of what we've come to expect from him in the last few seasons since we signed him, I do think that Mikel would have almost had no choice but to say, yep, I'm going to go with Trossard as the nine. Martinelli's back now. Right, we've got Ethan on the right, and look to craft some sort of front three with those options. But combination of Trossard's goals drying up as well, and we're not quite getting the same impact from midfield from Odegaard shooting, and his goals tally's dried up as well. So I understand the logic if that's part of Mikel's reasoning. I very much see where he's coming from though in persisting with Mikel Merino up front. Onto the goal itself. So what was, before I get onto the actual goal, what was really noticeable for me from the outset was that this was back to fast start Arsenal. We were back to our, we were pounding them from the outset. We had a number of chances which we couldn't quite capitalize on. What I noticed that there was such a difference in intensity, urgency. From the first whistle, we were just on it. And look, the cynical side of me just wonders, you know, where was this against West Ham a few weeks ago, right? Because that was something that was sorely lacking that match. There was a ball that Raya grasped in about the first minute or two, right? And that ball he played forward, like what a skill set he has. Like he's so good with the ball, his hands and his feet, right? But the way he skimmed this ball all the way along the deck, and we were just away. It crossed the halfway line and we were just sprinting forward. Like we were on. That Chelsea were rattled. They couldn't keep up. And again, just some lackluster finishing from we weren't quite hitting the ball with the same, striking the ball with the same, you know, authority. And we let them off the hook a few times. They have a very, very shaky goalkeeper. They really do. Sanchez, he just doesn't look of the standard. You know, how much are they spent? What, 15 billion? And, you know, you still, there's, that's, you expect a higher quality, right? You expect a certain quality in every position on the field from when a team spends as recklessly as they have. And they were just nowhere near us. They couldn't lay a glove. I'm so glad, though, that we eventually capitalized on the 20-minute mark. This set piece routine was really interesting. It seems that we've taken I know many Arsenal fans, myself included, have lamented how the set piece goals have really dried up lately as well. The last few months, I'm struggling to remember our last goal directly from a free kick or a corner. It's been that long, but we were doing this short corner routine. Timber had an opportunity earlier on. I think with Timber's one, he was trying to flick it up over the huddle and get it towards the back post. And look, whether Merino was trying to do the same or he was aiming for the goal itself, I don't particularly care, right? For me, I think I've said, if you're a repeat listener to myself, you've probably heard me say a number of times, ever since those injuries we experienced post Dubai, I'll take any goal. I'll take a shanked goal. I'll take a shanked header that bounces off someone's shoulder instead of their head. Right? I don't care if it comes off the back of your hip or the back of your knee or your thigh. I don't care where it comes. We're in that situation where just any goal, any score, I would very much welcome with both hands. Right? So whether it was intentional or not, don't particularly mind. I love his little celebration, right? It's really awesome. Ever since I made the connection several months ago, he did an interview about it. It's in homage to his father, who was also a professional footballer in Spain, and that was his father's celebration, which I imagine he adopted as well very early in his career. And it's pretty awesome, right? Just to be able to pay homage to your father like that and keep that tradition going. I absolutely love it. I mean, good on him. And you know what? I hope I see that many, many more times in the next few months. I would relish that. I would absolutely relish that. So fair play to Mikel Merino. It was a deserved lead. It really was. We could already have been out of sight by that point in the match. And it's so important for Arsenal that we score the first goal. I think defensively we are so rock solid anyway. We understand the struggles that we are experiencing in attack, and it's really important we score first, because if we concede first out of nowhere, we see what happens, right? Opposition teams, they just lock in. They sit deeper and deeper. They just pour men behind the ball
flood their own box, keep us out of those dangerous areas, those channels, and just force us to go round and round in circles. And we've all seen that match, right? We can all recall how many times have we been locked in those situations, unable to find a way out. And it's so, so important that we score the first goal. And we did. And we were never really troubled too much from there. As the match went on, I thought Martinelli grew into the game more and more. I know he's not as
fluent on the right as he has been on the left, where a lot of his goal contributions have come. He was looking more and more tired, right? I must say, I was a bit surprised that he stayed on as long as he did. I think from memory, I had some notes here, 77 minutes, 78 minutes. So that was when he was subbed off. And Mikel only made the two subs today, really. Tierney came on. Well, basically, that was in like injury time, stoppage time, just to see the match out, coming on for Odegaard. But one area I thought should have come on earlier, I thought there were more and more gaps opening up for Arsenal as Chelsea hopelessly tried to chase something in this match. I thought one area should have been on earlier, and Martinelli was looking more and more tired. I will say, though, there was a brilliant moment that he had. He caused Cucurella a lot of problems, right? It gave him a torrid time in many moments. And he got in behind again, and just what was really refreshing to see is that so often you just see Martinelli get into those dangerous positions, but just not look up and just blast away. And that final ball, that final touch, right? It was just, sometimes it's been lacking, but I loved how he looked up this time. He earned the position, like he earned the time by getting around his defender and leaving him all ends up. And Marino's ghosting off the back post. And it was a lovely volley over the top. And one thing it was remiss of me not to say before with Marino, he's very technically gifted, very technically exceptional footballer, right? The way he just strikes the ball, it's very elegant. And it's a very difficult thing to do, to strike a volley that sweetly and for it to go where you want it to go. And I think it also needs to be pointed out, just to reflect on Marino's two goals against Leicester, right? They too were just very technically, clinically taken chances. It's just a very simple art of football, right? It was just a lovely header that he tucked away at the time. And then that second goal, which put Leicester away, that lovely cross across from Trossard on the left, on the bounce, right, on a first time bounce on the half volley, he just tucked it away beautifully with his left foot. And here again, I thought that moment deserved a goal. Fair play to Sanchez that time. I know I've been critical of him before, but he kept that out just a few millimeters right before it crossed the line. I thought that really would have been. That would have been a very, very deserved goal for Arsenal, and it just would have reflected our dominance more so on the score sheet. So overall, whilst it wasn't the 5-0 thumping we handed out to them last season, oh God, how much I love that game! Again, if you heard me in my recording a few days ago, what that represented for the club to finally dish out a smashing to a club like Chelsea, who have caused us a lot of pain. I mean, there's a lot of history here, right? They've caused Arsenal a lot of pain in the last 20 odd years since Abramovich bought into the club and has really changed the football landscape since. Arsenal have really suffered at the hands of them, and it's been difficult. I don't need to go through it all, right? Because we probably all know the traumatic experiences I refer to, not just in terms of on-field performances, but Ashley Cole pinching our players right under our nose with the money and the financial firepower they had at the time, and that in itself created a pathway to where we now find ourselves at the Emirates. With David Dean at the time stepping down, and Stan Kroenke being sought to invest in the club at that time, and he's now fast forward all these years later, and he's 100% owner of the club. So look, it's a very symbolic thing, Arsenal versus Chelsea, and I'm just so, so proud of the club, so pleased that we got the job done against them yet again, because they certainly dished it out to us, and I love that we're sending them a few favours back. So. Well done to Arsenal. Very professional performance, a comfortable performance, really. I'll be back on in the next few days to record some further podcasts as we now just sort of, we can just shift gears a little bit. Very timely international break, I feel,
in the background. Bukayo Saka is stepping up his recovery. Arteta's quotes are really encouraging, really promising. You know, he's very measured in what he chooses to share and say about these things. So if he's saying what he's saying, then look, you know, I'm really encouraged by that. It was gold. If you haven't seen it yet, the clip of him pretending to run away from the Sky interview, that was just absolutely comedic brilliance. I mean, good on him, right? Good on him for having that sense of humour when he was asked about when he was asked the question about Saka's recovery. If you haven't seen it, please find it. Please check it out. It's worth a chuckle. So I will leave it there for now. Thank you so much again for tuning in and listening. Please share any feedback or comments or suggestions you have. I read absolutely everything, every single word that's sent my way. I'm so grateful for. Thank you. If you'd be kind enough to please leave a review on your podcast platform, like and subscribe on YouTube, it'll be very much appreciated. Thank you so much again. I'll be back on soon, so I'll chat to you next time. Until then, look after yourselves and come on, Arsenal.